Welcome to part four in the interview with Leo Drozdoff, Nevada Department of Conservation Director, and John Laird, California Natural Resources Secretary. Are we entering a new chapter in the relationship between California and Nevada with the new regional plan update and the bi-state effort that has gone into it? John Laird says, if this is paradigm shift, then people will have to act in that new paradigm for a few years before we know it. Hear his and Leo Drozdoff's reflections on the accomplishments of the past year and their words about the state's commitment to Tahoe into the future.
I'd just like to take on another complex topic, but I'd just like to touch upon it because there's an entire universe within it. And that has to do with aquatic invasive species. Now, aquatic invasive species, of course, can have a lot to do with water quality and are a national issue, but really a growing issue in the western states, and one that can be dealt with to a certain extent at a small region level like Lake Tahoe. But really lends itself to a more regional or interstate approach. And I'm just wondering, given what you know about the activities in your state to prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species, what you can highlight as opportunities for Tahoe to either get behind existing initiatives or give momentum to things that are being worked on the state level toward that end.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, one of the great joys about being resources secretary is I sit in discussions and people have no idea they're talking about bills that I did and were enacted into law when I was in the legislature. So I did this invasive species bill, and my spouse was cursing me over here at the inspection station because he said, if you hadn't have done that bill, we could have just sailed right through. And I learned a lot in that process. I also tried to change the word for it because they kept calling it hull fouling. And right. I just thought that was a crazy term. But what I learned was, is if we had inspections when boats were moving between different bodies of water or awareness of the boat owners or awareness of the marina operators, that it was a way that you could deal with it. And one of the things that Leo's lucky for is that he has no ocean frontage, because we are going through this right now with Japanese marine debris. And the major example was actually in Oregon and hasn't reached California. But when that dock washed up on the beach in Oregon, it was a huge, I don't know, an 80-foot dock or something from Japan washed up on the beach of Oregon. And the first thing they did was have crews go out and clean it for the invasive species that are Japanese-based, that don't exist in this part of the Pacific Ocean. And I had more people talk to me about that did not understand the issue or how that worked. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's complex, because where we are taping this right now, we're looking out over the lake, and you can see probably hundreds of boats from where we are, and every single one is a potential agent of an invasive species, depending on where it came from or where it moves or what it does. And as we know from the San Francisco Bay Area floor, when an invasive species takes hold, sometimes it's almost impossible to eradicate. And so the thing about it is this is one of those things where, thank God, I have a ton of scientists in various departments that can deal with this and can advise what the best ways are to do, because I do not understand. But some of the best work you don't see, because it's not here in invasive species.
Right.
And yet it goes right back to our previous conversation about a more libertarian thing, where why are you bossing the way I put a boat in water or do things? And yet if some quagga mussel that could survive at this altitude or this water temperature were introduced, it could spread through the lake in a way that you'd have a really rough time. And we have to do whatever we can in a cooperative way to prevent that.
Mm-hmm. When you said Nevada can be thankful they don't have the Pacific Ocean. It occurred to me Leo might
I am a coastal person, and I love all 1,100 miles of our coast.
Oh, no, no, no,
just
I do.
On a policy level.
Yes, not to be taken out of context.
Since I'll be in the coast tonight, if this advances me, I want to explain myself before it gets there.
Well, I'll finish the thought, and then you'll understand I wasn't dissing the coast at all, but Leo might have been thinking, I don't have the Pacific Ocean, but I have Lake Mead, and that is not to be underestimated in terms of its centrality to the aquatic invasive species issue on the Western Front. So, Leo, what are your thoughts on this?
So a few thoughts. This is actually an area where I think TRPA deserves a great amount of credit, because I thought they showed a tremendous leadership on this topic. You know, when Lake Mead and everything that's going on with it became prevalent, TRPA moved and really mobilized without much in the way of budget and without much in the way of, frankly, even authority, to put together a program that they should be proud of and that we feel comfortable supporting. And it really has come into its own. So that's comment one. We have had some movement in the state legislature. I think it was Assemblywoman Bustamante Adams passed a bill last session that empowered the Nevada Department of Wildlife, which is not a part of our department, but certainly a sister agency that we coordinate with, that tasks the Department of Wildlife with certain requirements and gives them certain tools, funding and otherwise, to do monitoring and inspections and the like. So you're right, Lake Mead was certainly with regard to invasive species. I want to make sure I don't stumble on this either. I think Lake Mead is a great resource for the state of Nevada, but when it comes to invasive species, we certainly don't want that replicated elsewhere. So I think kind of taking a look at what TRPA has done to protect Lake Tahoe will help Nevada, specifically the Department of Wildlife, build their program and their safeguards, and then their ability to communicate with, again, sort of the greater stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both for your thoughts on that. So in closing, I'd like to move back out to the another big picture question, kind of where I started in terms of, you know, if this is a chapter that you are major figures in when the history books are written, what's the legacy that this chapter conveys? And in that same way, part of what I'm doing with Tahoe Project is trying to identify paradigm shifts even as they are happening, which is, of course, very difficult to do in the present tense. But if you'd help me in that endeavor, I'd love your reflections on how or whether the regional plan update process and this sort of reinvigoration of the relationship between the states is or isn't a paradigm shift or the opening of a new chapter for Tahoe and for the relationship between Nevada and California.
Well, I hope it is, and I understand. I think one of the interesting things that I was talking about with some of my staff members in the last month is it never occurred to me in certain places in my agency or with certain issues I might be a transitional figure. You never think that when you embark on a job. And there, in addition to Tahoe, for example, we have an ag land preservation law that hasn't been funded in 2 years. That's a wonderful thing, and it's been there for 40 or 50 years, where I'm going to have to work to figure out what we do to meet that need over time with some different formulation that you hope will last for a generation or two, the way the last one did. Mm-hmm. And we have a state parks problem exactly the same way, where what's worked the last 110 years isn't working the same way now, and what are we going to do? And I think in Tahoe, it was interesting when we were presenting earlier today, to the committee of the agency board, one of the members said that when he came on the board, he was advised that it just may well be dysfunctional and may well not work. And the thing about it is if they move ahead with the agreements that we've placed in front of them, I think they will show that it can work. I mean, it still needs to be worked. And it still needs to have what, if this is fact a paradigm shift, people will need to act in that paradigm for a number of years still to come to prove that it's a shift. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what this is. And the jury is still out, but this could be a paradigm shift. We could be transitional figures.
You know, it's funny, as I listen to John answer and we comment about this, you know, we certainly come from different places, but when it comes to this issue, we tend to say the same things and find each other just kind of agreeing with each other. And so I pretty much agree with everything he said. I look at it as, I hope so as well. I think we're both fortunate that we work for bosses who have made this like a priority and have sort of empowered us with the direction to go get it done. I think we feel good about what we've accomplished thus far because certainly that hadn't been done, and getting a variety of stakeholders in a room and working out a compromise is something that, you know, again, in my 20 plus years in Nevada government, I can't recall. So, I mean, you have to, I think it's good to take stock from time to time and feel good about that, but that's really a small step. The bigger step will be is if it actually materializes. And then that will be something to really certainly be proud of. I think though that either way, I think we should feel good about that. We endeavored to do something different. We got further than I think a lot of people ever envisioned. As John said earlier, the table is set. You know, it's up for a lot of other diners and eaters to continue the metaphor.
Still potential for food fights.
Yeah, that's right. To see if it really does take hold. I will tell you that, you know, you don't invest this amount of time and want it to die on the vine, so we're going to fight. I know that. I know we're going to, you know, we're just as we got involved with this, it was because even the compromise that we had worked out started to look like, in terms of the regional plan, that somehow that was going askew. So now that we've gone this far, I can certainly promise you that we're going to continue to fight and cajole and do whatever. And we'll certainly listen to the folks that I think most people will be happy with what we accomplished. I know that there are some naysayers out there. I think that's just the nature of the beast. But we're going to continue to fight so that, if legacy is the right term, you know, that maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, we'll be talking about more than just a, you know, an agreement, a piece of paper, that we'll actually have some tangible results. And then that will be something that I think the two of us and all of the folks that we work with will feel really good about.
And I have to say that a year ago, and I can't remember who it was, somebody up here says to me, that will never happen. You will never get a plan done by the end of next year. It just absolutely, you're just living in dreamland. And for me, there's nothing that is throwing down the challenge saying something like that. And I think we've really done that. So, you know, if people don't want to agree around here, they still have that option. But I think we've given them a path. And I think things are starting to move down it, and we want it to be a path that people walk down for a number of years. So hopefully it'll work.
Well, I would just echo the comments made by the regional plan committee members today, and thanking both of you and your staffs who have really shown a tremendous commitment to Tahoe and to the issues here through this process. And thank you both for this interview and helping get the word out to all those who don't sit through the TRPA meetings about all the work that's gone into paving the way for the future.
Thank you, Michelle. I think the work that you do is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, this really helps people learn. We appreciate it.
Thank you both.
This is the end of the four-part conversation with Leo Drozdoff, Nevada Department of Conservation Director, and John Laird, California Natural Resources Secretary. Thank you for listening at tahoeproject.org.